Australia is often hailed as a great multicultural country, isn't it? This kind of rich tapestry doesn't mean, though, that we all get each other or even get on with each other naturally and easily. So say you meet someone whose cultural background is very different from your own. How do you find an understanding of each other? How do you have a conversation about race, religion, culture, without causing offence, without making assumptions, without falling into stereotypes? Dr. Teresa DeFazio is the Cultural Diversity Manager at Victoria University. She also served a couple of terms as the Multicultural Commissioner in Victoria. Teresa, say you're a migrant from a non-Anglo background or you're an Indigenous Australian. How can you be made to feel other?
It's an interesting question. I think the othering does occur when you're made to feel that you're different and somehow that difference is negative. So it's the othering in terms of what you're wearing or how you speak or your lack of English skills or your lack of understanding of the way things work. Perhaps even just, you know, we've had these cases sometimes even, you know, sort of going around on social media where people are preferring to not sit next to you on public transport, you know, and sort of move at another side of the train, for example, the train carriage. So that sort of sense of being different, marginalised, somehow not quite mainstream or up to standard or judged, and that judging comes through in that othering.
Mm. And what about, say, if you're being asked about your cultural background, like you're expected to be a sort of representative of it, to speak, you know, on behalf of everyone with the same background, what issues arise there?
And that's really interesting, isn't it? Because cultural diversity is very complex and has many layers. So even, you know, people from a particular country will have differences depending on where they're from or what region they're from, their faith. So there's a real complexity there. So in terms of speaking generally, it can be tricky. And I think that's why sometimes stereotypes do occur, because we find a way of sort of thinking about sort of common aspects. But if you're on the receiving end and you're sort of being asked to speak generally, it can be difficult. It can put the person in a sense of, you know, well, I don't really feel comfortable being the spokesperson. I remember, just as a little anecdote, I was 17 and I was in a delicatessen and a woman bowled up to me very, you know, sort of very suddenly, looking up from the Strasbourg. She said to me, "Oh, you're ethnic, aren't you?" She said, "What's that cheese, you know, that stretchy cheese that you put on pizza? What's that called?" And, you know, I sort of, you know, very politely said, "Oh, what's Sorella?" And off she went. And I thought, oh gosh, thank goodness that she got the right ethnicity, because I sort of spoke for everybody there,
yeah,
I think.
Well, for every ethnic person.
Yes.
Mm. Well, ages ago, Teresa, I had a friend who was born and grew up in Australia. Her heritage was Chinese. And she was often asked by people, by strangers, "Oh, where are you from?" To which she would always answer, you know, in a broad Australian accent, the name of the suburb in Brisbane where she grew up. Mostly my guess is that sort of question comes from, I think, what you call an unconscious bias. How do you then address your own unconscious biases, given they are unconscious?
And that's a tricky one, isn't it? Unconscious bias, certainly, you know, but there's 200 categories of unconscious bias. Not all of them around cultural diversity, thank goodness, but there's a lot there. I think as people develop into cultural competence, they start to be quite reflective and reflexive, and they start to become more aware of their biases, so they're not so unconscious. So, you know, your typical one is stereotyping. Now, that's an unconscious bias. So as you start to develop sort of intercultural awareness, you're challenging yourself to make these unconscious biases more explicit, and then thinking about the sort of strategies you might put in to counter those. So, you know, if your first instance, first sort of reaction is to not sit somewhere because there's a person that you think, oh my goodness, I actually think I have an unconscious bias against this person, I'm going to challenge myself, you know, well, sit down next to that person. You know, smile.
Yes, but you've got to make your, in the first place, you've got to make your unconscious, the knowledge of having unconscious biases conscious.
Yes, yes, yeah. And we have a lot of situations. I mean, you know, as you said, we have a wonderful multicultural makeup. I've talked about intercultural awareness as a bit of a switch. Once you've turned on that switch, you tend to walk around people watching, the curiosity takes over, and that bias starts to be challenged a little bit. I mean, it's an ongoing process, you know, and that's the whole thing. You know, these training programs are terrific, and they start the process off and get you questioning and get you looking from different perspectives, you know, in the shoes of one person and et cetera, and moving around and sort of one, you know, so that multi-dimensional understanding of what it's like to live through different experiences. Then after that, once that switch is on, you're walking around and you're, having experiences with a different mindset. And that's the whole thing about being interculturally aware. It's a mindset issue.
Well, to help improve this intercultural awareness, SBS has developed a cultural competence program. This is for organisations and individuals. Leon Conningham is head of distribution at SBS. Leon, tell us about this program at SBS. Why was it developed?
Well, basically, we looked at workplaces and realised that they're probably not ready for the diversity that's currently here and is coming, in managing your own teams and also in managing your diverse marketplaces now and the people that you're serving out there in the broader Australian community.
Yeah, so tell us more about how it works.
We've developed an online program. We developed it specifically so that we could train everyone in an organisation, so we've had to make it cost effective, and that means bringing it online. Fundamentally, we try to tell real stories about cultural diversity and the real experiences of people who've managed cultural diversity, and just give some really practical tips and hints as to people how people can manage that diversity in their workplaces and also for their customer base.
Well, let's hear an example now from this resource. This is the SBS World News presenter Janice Peterson, and she's talking about curiosity.
I think being naturally curious about someone's ethnicity is a really wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But I think be tactful about the way that you approach those conversations. I've been asked a few times throughout my career in different organisations by more than one person, so who's black, your mum or your dad? Or what are you? And I know it comes from a good place, but I'd advise if you are curious about someone's background and ethnicity, be tactful about it.
Teresa, that's interesting, where Janice Peterson is talking about curiosity, natural curiosity being fine, but balancing it with a bit of tact.
I think that's exactly right. We are naturally curious, both sides, and when there's intercultural awareness, there's a sort of reciprocity of curiosity. Both parties want to interact. We're humans. We want to connect. We want to understand. And when that's in place with both parties, you've got a beautiful opportunity to talk about, you know, religion and dress codes and, you know, how things work in the house or, you know, in a business sense, you know, what are your expectations, of meetings or interactions or how to do business. As with all human interactions, it is about trust. It is about developing respect. And when you've established a respectful relationship, a respectful sort of approach to the interaction, then you'll find, you know, I think in most cases you'll find that that's of mutual benefit.
Well, Leon, what other kinds of... give us another story or example that you use in your SBS Cultural Competence Program to sort of improve this kind of awareness and understanding.
There's quite a few, but look, one of the things we did, we asked some managers of very diverse teams what their top two or three or four things that they practice. Mm-hmm. The first one was avoiding assumptions, and I think Teresa raised that before. The second one was just a very practical thing. Use open-ended questions rather than closed-ended questions when you're talking to people about their culture and you're asking questions. And that way you're not putting your biases or stereotypes onto them. You're giving them an opportunity to talk about their culture openly. And I think the other really big thing is do your homework on different cultures. Go and find out something about the culture before you have a conversation with the person if you have the opportunity. That allows you to know some topics to avoid and perhaps some topics to raise. So don't be frightened to, do some research on people's cultures and find out what you can about it before you have a conversation.
This is Life Matters, talking about how to build cultural understanding and knowledge in Australia with Leon Conyngham, who's head of distribution at SBS, which has a digital training resource, a cultural competence program, and Dr. Teresa DeFazio, who's the cultural diversity manager at Victoria University. Now, a listener contacted us at Life Matters asking for advice on how she could have better handled a situation that came up for her when she introduced a couple of her friends to each other. She thought these people would get along well because they have mutual interests, so she arranged for them to meet. One of the friends is Anglo-Australian, the other's background is Muslim Nigerian. Now, she didn't mention their respective backgrounds to either of them. When they met, she noticed her Anglo friend looked really uncomfortable, while the Nigerian-Australian seemed to take the meeting in their stride. Now, this listener who contacted us was really mortified and wonders if and how she could have handled the introduction differently. Teresa, what would your advice be in that situation?
Well, there's a number of, a few layers there. I think... The person who was introducing the two parties really didn't think about, she thought about two people who, as people would get on, common interests, and then I think that's right. You sort of, that's what you do. You look beyond the labels, you look beyond the passport details. And it's interesting that one of the parties there, the Anglo-Australian woman, was probably so keen, to do the right thing and to not present any sort of bias or any sort of stereotyping, or just so keen to engage, that in a sense she sort of nobbled herself, poor darling. But I'm not sure that the interaction could have been handled any differently, because it's a tricky situation. Mm. The one who's doing the introductions didn't want to presuppose anything, and certainly didn't want to label. And I get that's fine. So as long as everything is done, as has been said, tactfully, respectfully, people will negotiate their space and then focus on the interests. And in the end, that's really what we want, in terms of a socially cohesive community, when we're talking about citizenship, that's good citizenship.
Right. Right. So you don't think that listener could have or should have done anything differently?
Possibly, no, I don't think so, unless she felt that there was a particular reason why the Nigerian aspect, in terms of the interest.
There's a lot we don't know about that,
banking and finance, was there something as an overlay of a particular slant that could have been, that
clarified
had an impact?
Earlier. Yeah. All right. Mm. Dr. Teresa DeFazio is the Cultural Diversity Manager at Victoria University, and Leon Conyngham is the Head of Distribution at SBS, and SBS has developed this cultural competence program. Now, that's a service you pay for. They also have a free cultural atlas, which is another resource aimed at improving intercultural understanding in Australia. Teresa and Leon, thank you so much for joining us here in Life Matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.